Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
An organization that tracks persecution in the church today throughout the world. Their report is that more people are being martyred today than at any other time in Earth's history.
And wow, that's hard to believe, isn't it? Because of the Inquisition and all of that.
Oh, yeah. So many, in fact, some reports say that during a 1,260-year period, as many as 50 to 80 million Christians were put to death for their faith. That was, of course, a long time ago. But to say that that many people are dying today is interesting. Yeah. I think that one of the causes for that is the fact that there's so many more people in the world today. Mm-hmm. And so percentage-wise, it may be fewer. But still, that's a large number of people that are being put to death for their faith.
Sometimes in the Western side of the world, we don't realize what a fierce persecution there is out there.
That's right. And there is fierce persecution. There are some places where accepting Christ as your Savior is a death sentence. You are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't always recognize that here. And you don't hear that on the news media. I don't know why. It's just not popular to report. But that is true. There are places where that is the case. You receive Jesus and you have a death sentence.
But you said that you also want to talk about when the persecution comes from within the church. What is that about?
Sometimes I think that's even more fierce because there's no zealot like a religious zealot. And when sometimes your faith in Christ is different than mine, or your belief in God is different than mine, I can persecute you with a religious zeal that knows no bounds. And that can be extremely intense.
Yes. It's interesting that you mentioned that because as I study the Gospels, for example, that the most feared opposition that Jesus found, he found it from the religious leaders of his time.
The religious leaders of the time,
and many times because they wanted to monopolize grace, per se. And they would say, with what authority are you doing this? Mm-hmm. They would say to Jesus, you haven't come into the temple. You're here forgiving sins. Who do you think you are?
Yeah, you're healing people. What authority do you use to do this?
Yes. And so many times Jesus had to actually challenge the persecution from within. And I actually think that if we go over all the stories of Jesus, we will find that the 90% of the opposition he received, it was from within the church.
And, you know, that's very disconcerting because, you know, if you take up the cause of Christ, you expect persecution from outside the church. But when it comes from within, it is extremely disheartening and it is extremely confusing because you thought, aren't we all on the same side? Didn't God call me to do this? And yet here you're persecuting me because of what I'm doing for Christ.
And this is the case with Paul as we follow him now on his second missionary journey. He has crossed over to Macedonia and from here he will go to two very religious synagogues that we have in that area, Thessalonica and then Berea. I had the privilege, actually, of being in both of these cities and going to the places where it is believed that Paul was going through. And Thessalonica had quite an established synagogue, and they will really, really, they will go after Paul here.
And in fact, we mentioned this when we dealt with 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, how Paul was there only a short time to establish that Christian church, whether he was there only 3 weeks because he preached in the synagogue 3 Sabbaths or whether he was there a little bit longer and started preaching in synagogues later, we don't know. But it was still a short time, but the persecution was so intense that he had to leave after his third sermon in the synagogue.
And by the way, we still want to encourage you to, as you go through the book of Acts, also read letters of Paul that relate to the churches that we're going through as he is in his missionary journeys.
You find some wonderful insights there from Acts towards those letters, but the letters give you insight into Acts as well.
So we're going to start reading now on Acts chapter 17, where Paul is going to go to the synagogue in Thessalonica, specifically to preach the gospel in verse 3 of the same chapter.
All right. Explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead and saying, "This Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas along with a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women.
But again, as we have seen before, the Jews became jealous.
And again, we're using this term Jews. Scripture is using this to refer specifically to the Jewish leaders in the region.
Yes.
Because remember, members of the synagogue were Jews and and they were accepting it. God-fearers were Gentiles who believed in God, and they were accepting this message. But now some of the Jewish leaders were the ones who are turning against Paul and his message.
And they're called wicked here because, mm-hmm. as Mike said before, sometimes when people do atrocities in the name of religion, they are so zealous and jealous that they almost have no boundaries. And it says here, but the Jews, verse 5, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. And attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. Now, this is very similar to what happens to Jesus when the religious leaders of the Jews go to the authorities of the city to try to get them on their side so that these people can be exterminated.
That's right. So they can use the authority of Rome with the soldiers in order to persecute Christ or to put him to death. And here they're using a mob in order to try to persecute Paul and Silas to get rid of their influence in the city.
Verse 6 of chapter 17 is one of those verses that has been legitimized by archaeology because Luke says here that they brought them to the city authorities. Mm-hmm. And he uses a word, a Greek term. The Greek term is politarch, which means city ruler, that nobody had ever found in any other literature of the time. Mm-hmm. So they thought that Luke was not a legitimate book because it was using names that they couldn't find anywhere
Luke
else.
Luke was not a legitimate author who wrote the Gospel of Luke and also Acts, but because here in Acts he's using this
yes,
name.
Yes, he uses it here and he uses it on verse 8 of the same chapter, and it's the only two places in all of the New Testament where we find this Polytarch. But in 1835, it was found in an arch here in Thessalonica. It's called the Vander Arch, where they actually found that this inscription was there talking about the authorities of the city here in this area. And the arch was destroyed in 1867, but the actual block that has the inscription of Polytarch of the city authorities is now in the British Museum. And since then, they found about 16 other inscriptions in Macedonia using this. And this legitimized actually the Book of Acts and Luke as the author.
That's great. All right. So anyway, they're coming after Paul and says, and Jason has welcomed them and that they all are acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar. And these are the accusations that they're bringing against Jason and all these people as they're dragging them before the authorities, saying there is another king, and that is Jesus. So they're accusing them of insurrection and of treason.
And after that, Paul has to actually be sent away by the people. In verse 10, it says, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. Now, Berea is a city close by, and it's very funny because it says here that when they arrived, they went to the synagogue, and they were more noble-minded, it says, than those in Thessalonica. But guess what? In verse 13, the Jews of Thessalonica follow them all the way to the Berea, and they still make an uproar. I mean, how vicious religious people can be, isn't it?
They really were vicious. But, you know, in their hearts, they thought they were doing the right thing because they're stamping out this heretic. But there is nothing worse than someone who feels that they're right and that God is on their side when they're persecuting someone else.
And God is going to protect Paul because he has given him this mission. That doesn't mean he's not going to suffer or go through difficulties, you know.
Because Paul does that. He suffers. He goes through difficulties. He is beaten. He is shipwrecked. He is imprisoned over and over again. The fact that you face opposition in difficult times does not mean that God is not with you.
You know, I have sometimes faced opposition within my ministry, and it probably is harder than anything else for me when it comes from within my team or within my church or within my elders. And many times I had gone back to some of the prophets that this happened, and the prophet Jeremiah is coming to mind. You know, Jeremiah was called in a very difficult time in Israel, and God tells him, you're going to find opposition from your own people, from the kings of Judah, from the princes, even from the priests of the church.
And here Jeremiah is called to witness to these very people. He's called to bring God's word to them, to bring them to redemption.
To his own people.
To his own people. And they are the ones who are going to persecute him for the word that he brings to them.
Let me read Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 17 to 19, because that became a motto in my ministry. And I actually drew a logo for myself from these verses. It says on verse 17, now gird up your loins and arise and speak to them all which I command you. Do not be dismayed before them, or I will dismay you before them. Now behold, and this is what God promises Jeremiah, I have made you today a fortified city, a pillar of iron and walls of bronze against the whole land, to the kings of Judah, to his princes, to his priests, and to the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Mm. Isn't that
a wonderful promise? You know, that he's going to make you a strong metal so that when they shoot at you, it just bounces off. Now, it doesn't mean you won't be hurt. It doesn't mean that the persecution won't come, but he's saying, I'm going to help you to endure.
There's nothing like when people that know you most discourage you the most. I want to tell you, if you find yourself in a family system right now, mm-hmm. or in a workplace where you are finding opposition from within, we want to tell you that God is the one that is with you and will fortify you. He might not remove you from that, but he will make you a fortified city with you know, a bronze iron wall, you know.
The key is for you to make sure that you are following God's leading, that your message and your actions are according to Scripture, that they are not self-serving, that they are not self-delusional, but that you are following what God has called you to do, and this is based upon God's word. And if you are faithful to God's calling and to God's word, then trust that God will deliver you, even from the hands of those who persecute you.
Yeah, Jesus finished the Beatitudes in that way in Matthew 5. He says, if you're being persecuted for your faith, rejoice, because that is the way that they persecuted also the prophets that were before you, and Jesus was persecuted in that way.
Persecution is real in the world today. People are forfeiting their lives, and in other places, people are just experiencing extreme difficulty and extreme pressure. Whatever the case for you, understand that you are to hold fast to the Word of God, hold fast to your calling, trust Him, and He will see you through even the difficult times. He may not take it away, but He will see you through.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.